escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sucker! The Rob Brown Show back on the radio. It's the Fan Up State. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, that's me. The great one, Lonzo, that's he. And we are glad to be with you every weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, except for next Monday when we are off for Labor Day. And also, let's keep it a hundy, shall we? To recover from week one of college football. Because starting tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., when the USF Bulls and the Boise State Blue Turf Smurf Broncos get it on down in Tampa, Florida, all the way through Monday afternoon when Bill Belichick and his UNC Tar Heels make their debut under the hoodie, your boy is going to wear a Rob Brown butt-shaped dent in the couch. I will be headed today after the show is over to pick up all of my football weekend supplies because tomorrow when the show is over, I know how tomorrow's going to go. I'll be up late into the evening watching college football. Once the show is over tomorrow, it is get off the air, cut promos, do the desk jockey work, head back to the crib, get a college football weekend social media post up, take a short siesta, and then at 5:30 p.m., post up for a little college football, and I shan't move between there and Monday with the exception of, you know, coming into work on Thursday and Friday. But outside of that,
Saturday, you got something major going on.
Do we have the final episode of the current iteration of Bet for the Cycle on Saturday, but I do that show from home. And considering the fact that it is the final episode, considering we have already told the folks at the network, yeah, we're not planning anything for this show. We're just going to show up, turn the mics on, and see what happens for 4 hours. I don't think I'm going to sit at the desk. I think I'm just going to swivel everything over and sit on the couch to do that show. Just get the mic stand, do it podcast style, and that way I can stare at the TV the whole time.
That's a good move. Are you going to have like some special guests show up from you know early that
we
used to be on the show?
We absolutely are. We are going to have a parade.
I don't want to spoil surprises. I'm just guessing. That's usually what you do when it's your final show.
That is exactly what is going to happen. A parade of the heaviest of heavy hitters. Bob Nightingale from USA Today is going to come by. I believe Pete Futak is going to come by, who's been our college football dude for 4 years now. Hayton Ass Mario is supposed to swing by, but he texted us yesterday and said, "Hey, fellas, I don't know if it's going to be a good idea for me to come on the show Saturday or not. And I said, why? Because Mario's got a new role. He's actually producing for the ESPN affiliate in Chicago now. And he said, I don't know if it's a good idea for me to come on. And I said, oh, because you're working at it for another company now? Like, we don't care. It's our last show. What are they going to do? Fire us. You're fine. And he said, no, I'm actually going to be down in Miami for a bachelor party, and the festivities begin at like 10 a.m. on Saturday. So I don't know what state of mind I'll be in. And I said, that makes me want you to come on more.
I was gonna say, what does that matter?
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, it's your last show. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
Hey, everybody. Mario's here, and he's absolutely sloshed in Coral Gables. That makes me want to pay attention more. All right, final episode of Bet for the Cycle this Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetMGM Network for free on the Odyssey app. Cody Decker and I are, we got other stuff cooking. I'm not done broadcasting with the Big Deck energy just yet. So we got some other stuff cooking, but we wanted our Saturdays back. It's been 4 years. So check it out, noon to 4. Hey, real quick, I did have one more thought that I wanted to give, because this kind of hit me during the break. Texter wrote the show and said, Rob Brown, if Hunter Renfrow isn't one of the best seven on the team, the Panthers should not drop a ball this season. I thought about that quite a bit. And I looked at the wide receiver core, seven wide receivers. Tanner Owen McMillan, we knew that. Adam Thielen, we knew that. Xavier Leggett, we knew that. Jalen Coker, I think we knew that. The three others who made it were David Moore, Jimmy Horn Jr., and Bryson Tremaine. Now, I think another part of the reason, and I'm not going to stay on this for much longer, but this thought did hit me during the break, because I read that text to the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. I read that text, and I thought, was Hunter Renfrow one of the best seven, based on the guys who made the roster?
He wasn't one of the best seven for the Raiders. If I remember, there was a shot of him getting cut there. So, and I could be recalling wrong. And his illness may have come into play his final season with the Raiders, but I don't think he played that well his final season.
I think he was okay. I also think the Raiders were just a bad football team at that point.
Well, at that point.
Wasn't his last year there?
When's the last time the Raiders were a good team?
I'm trying to remember if his last year, was his last year there the first year that Aiden O'Connell was the guy? Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know who would have been successful, but put that aside.
It might have been your Hall of Famer. I don't know.
It may have been Derek Carr. I don't remember. Put that aside. I wanted to look at I went and looked at the seven wide receivers who did make the roster. Again, we knew the ones that were going to. McMillan, Thielen, Leggett, Coker. Those four were locks. The question was, what combination was going to round out the final three? And it ended up being David Moore, Jimmy Horn Jr., and Bryson Tremaine. And here's why I think it may just be a matter of, there's not an underground conspiracy theory. This isn't, you know, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge agreement with Hunter Renfrow. Don't sign anywhere else. We'll bring you back. It comes down to this. Jimmy Horn Jr. made this team because he's going to be the kickoff return guy, I think. That's why they got rid of Raheem Blackshear yesterday. Because Jimmy Horn Jr., in a young guy that Carolina's very optimistic about, doesn't just add a fifth wide receiver if you have to go five wide late in games. He also is your kick return specialist, and the dude's got some speed.
All right, really quick, just because I was curious. In 2022, he only had 36 receptions, 330 receiving yards, two touchdowns, and appeared sparingly in 2023 before being released by the Raiders. So I think the praise for Renfrow is a little bit high. He was a decent receiver, especially early on in his career, but he's played for a while and he was on the decline. And so I think people are just forgetting that he got cut.
I think that is a part of it without a doubt. And I think that plays into it. I think if I recall correctly, Hunter Renfrow did say at a point that his health issues were causing some struggles for him on the football field. That's part of the reason that he walked away from football instead of, after getting cut, trying to make a new team. He just was like, I'm out for a minute. Let me get my bleep together.
Getting cut will help you walk away. But I mean,
no, I mean, like, know, he could have tried out to come back somewhere else and he just walked away from football. Now, David Moore, Jimmy Horn, because he's a kickoff return specialist. They got upside hopes for him, but he's a kickoff return guy. That leads David Moore and Bryson Tremaine. David Moore is a guy that I think is viewed as kind of a kind of an over-the-middle threat. He's 6'2", 220, so he's not a small guy. He's a guy you can kind of send across the middle and believe that there is a chance that he can be your hands guy if you send Leggett down the sideline. And that leaves Bryson Tremaine as wide receiver number 7 on the roster. Well, Bryson Tremaine's 25 years old, but he's 6'4", 212, and Canales has specifically referenced him as a guy that he believes has a lot of upside and a lot of potential, but is a very rough project. Like, they are going to have to develop the guy. At the end of the day, with Hunter Renfrow, you kind of knew what you were going to get. Like, there's no growing Hunter Renfrow's game. He is who he is. And who he is a pretty good wide receiver. But as much as I believe that this team is now ready to compete for the NFC South, maybe not any other division, but they are ready to compete for a bad division in the NFC South. If that is the case, then I would have liked to see Renfrow stick on the squad because I think he can participate and contribute more. But here's the thing. Had Hunter Renfrow made the squad, he would have been the 7th wide receiver. Even in a 5 wide, how many routes is Hunter Renfrow going to get? Right? Like how many plays a game is Hunter Renfrow going to get? 4, 5, 6, 10 absolute tops. How many targets a game? 1, 2 maybe. If that is the case, then I'll keep Bryson Tremaine, who's going to get that role, and I will utilize my opportunity with him in practices to try to develop him down the line that can move up on the depth chart if and when we need him to, or become attractive trade bait later. We'll talk more about this later on. We got to get to our NFL cut day results from yesterday. That is actually an item on this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number 1. Talked about it at length for the Carolina Panthers. Let's take a look at some of the other moves that took place around the NFL as the 53-man roster cut day was yesterday, deadline at 4 p.m. Teams had to be under that 53-man mark at that point. Some of the bigger moves that got made yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys still uncertain about the future of one Micah Parsons. James Houston was chosen to carry on the roster, was likely a cut victim, but they kept him on because Micah Parsons is not technically on the roster right now. Phil Maffa, as we mentioned yesterday, did go on injured reserve, but he is available to return to the Cowboys later on in the season, and it is believed that he will. Lyle Collins, who has been a name there in a long time, got the cut from Dallas. John Mingo and Peyton Turner both as well. For the Giants, biggest move, likely Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets gets the axe in favor of Wilson Winston and Dart in Philly. Added tackle Fred Johnson and Sam Howell via trade. Tanner McGee named the backup quarterback. Kyle McCord catches the axe for the Commanders. Brian Robinson Jr. was traded last week, so they had some questions about what the running back spot was going to look like. No big moves from yesterday. The Bears didn't really have a lot going on yesterday. The Lions did not either under Dan Campbell's squad, other than they released Dan Skipper. You remember Dan Skipper is the offensive tackle that had the touchdown pass, and there was the controversy about being tackle eligible. Fan favorite, they cut him because they are not playing around anymore. The Minnesota Vikings have J.J. McCarthy officially as the starter. They traded away Sam Howell, replaced him with free agent Carson Wentz at the quarterback spot. For the Falcons, Caleb McGarry, placed on injured reserve, the starting right tackle, expected to protect Michael Penix Jr.'s blind side, sustained a leg injury last week. It was announced yesterday he would not make the rest of the season. So now Atlanta having to go to blindside tackle number 2. Hunter Renfrow was cut by the Panthers yesterday. We talked about that. The other big move for tight ends, Jatavion Sanders, Tommy Tremble, Mitch Evans, and James Mitchell all make the roster. The reason why, it is believed that Tommy Tremble will not be 100% until a little bit later on in the season. So they kept the 4th tight end. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cam Akers, both cut cut by the Saints. Kendre Miller is going to be Alvin Kamara's backup. Spencer Rattler named QB1. Kyle Trask cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Teddy Bridgewater brought in as QB2 in that spot. We'll take a look at some of the other names from yesterday's cut day deadline here in a minute. But we got to get on to item number two. The Atlanta Braves yesterday racked up a dozen hits in an 11-2 win over the Miami Marlins. They had a big top of the ninth inning explosion. Bergeron doubled to left to score White and Alvarez Jr. Baldwin singled to right to score Alvarez Jr. and Bergeron. Acuna Jr. walked to score Baldwin. Eli White singled to left. The Greenville native singled to left, scored a couple. Ozzie Albies then went, yeah, to wrap up the ninth out to left field, scored himself, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Eli White. The Braves entered the top of the ninth with a 3-2 lead. They left the top of the ninth with an 11-2 win. Offensive explosion late. That is the kind of stuff, even if it does ultimately end up costing you a first overall pick, there doesn't appear yet to be a Paul Skeens in the next draft. So, like, show me you got some momentum for next year. Well, the story is Hurston Waldrop. The former Florida Gator turned rookie who got brought up to eat innings. Turns out, dude can maybe go a little bit. Now, he did not get any K's in the game yesterday, Hurston Waldrop. What he did do, however, was work 5.1 innings, give up 8 hits, but only 1 run. No K's in the game still. I'm looking for consistency, and he gave that to us yesterday. Hurston Waldrop, through 7 appearances, has K'd 24 batters, and has an ERA of 0.9 with a 4-0 record. He did not get the decision yesterday. Had he would have ended up with a 5-0 record, a whip of 0.93. Hurston Waldrop looks like a dude, and this is the one thing that I think that the Bravos can have optimism about. It looks like they may have gotten another dude off the bump out of the draft, which they might need. Spencer Strider had a better outing last time out, but he has also not been good since his return from his injury, sustained after his return from an injury. I think Spence is out there at this point just working innings, trying to see if he can get the heat back and get the control back. We'll find out. We'll talk more about it. But at least some minor level of optimism for Atlanta that Hurston Waldrop might be a dude. Let's go to item number three. Just kind of a quick run through of a number of college football stories as we get prepared for week one of college football. Denton Day of the BetMGM Network, big college football dude, going to join us coming up this morning at 9:20. We will basically run up and down the slate and get his thoughts on everything. Here are some of the notes. Yesterday, Ryan Day joined the Pat McAfee show yesterday, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Kirk Herbstreit was filling in for Pat as the guest host. He asked Ryan Day, what's your advice for Julian Sain going into week one as QB1 for the reigning defending? Ryan Day said his advice to Julian Sain, quote, just win, end quote. Pressure on that team. We're going to talk about what that game between the Buckeyes and the Longhorns means this weekend and if it can live up to expectations. Coming up in this hour, we're also
trying to say that's bad advice? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
That sounds like great advice to me.
I mean, it is quite literally, for anyone playing a sport, the best advice. Just win.
It's something you and I look at each other before we walk in this room every morning and go, just win.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I need to print a poster out for that. I think it is. Obviously, Ryan Day is not going to be like, well, I told him to work on a 7-step drop and timing. And like, sure, platitude. But like, there's confidence
there. Or is it just win? Or that guy sitting over there is taking your spot?
Yeah, I don't think that. But okay. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Colorado has named transfer quarterback Kadon Salter their QB1. Oklahoma State will start Hejny as their QB1. The Tennessee Volunteers added a year to Josh Heupel's deal. He is now the head man on good old Rocky Top through 2030. I told you they got hype in Heupel out there in Knoxville.
He and Matt Rhule should be on the same bowling team.
Speaking of Matt Rhule, I got another college football hot take for you coming up here in just a little while, and it involves the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Bama and West Virginia had a home-and-home scheduling agreement. They have canceled it, and they have canceled it as a direct result of the change in SEC scheduling policy. We're going to talk about that coming up a little later on. And when Colorado hosts Georgia Tech coming up tomorrow evening, They will do so without one of the best traditions in college football. Ralphie the Sixth has retired, and they do not have time to get Ralphie Seven ready to roll. So the Buffaloes will take to the field Friday against the Rambling Wreck without a Buffalo. Tech by 90. All right, we got a lot of college football we're going to get to when we come back here in just a minute from right now. Let's talk Clemson LSU, and let's talk about what this game means in the grand scheme of things for both of these schools, these head coaches, these quarterbacks, and more. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Clemson v. LSU is being wildly viewed as the game of week one. There are two of them that stand out more than all the rest. One of them, obviously, the Texas Longhorns versus the Ohio State Buckeyes. The other, LSU and Clemson. So what is on the line in this game? What does this game mean to both the Tigers and the Tigers? Heather Denich was on ESPN. She was asked that question. So there you go. There's Heather Denich's take. And I will start with, yeah, she hit, I think, what is the big one. The big one being, this is about standing at the end of the season. If you are Clemson, if everybody who's not me is correct, and the ACC stinks, beating LSU and being the first team to do it and doing it when LSU is a top 10 team. Because again, if LSU loses to Clemson on the road, even though it will be a quality loss in the enhanced metrics, even though it will be a quality loss on the road to a top four team, there will be a number of teams stacked up behind LSU that could, emphasize, bold, italicized, could end up jumping them. And that will be a that will be an interesting spot. Keep in mind, we will not get playoff standings until November 4th. So we will not know what it does to LSU in the playoff standings. What we do know is what it might do to them in the top 25. If Miami beats Notre Dame, they will jump them, and I don't know if Notre Dame would fall behind LSU. If Arizona State wins this weekend, coming off a playoff run last year, they could jump LSU. Illinois, hell, South Carolina with the win over Tech, if LSU loses to Clemson, could jump them. Michigan, Florida, SMU, all these teams could. Now, none of them will have a quality win that is going to reward them as much as, I don't really know what the correct way to English this is yet, but as much as the maybe most quality loss outside of the loser of Texas, Ohio State will have in week one. But I do know the AP poll treats the way that they rank teams differently than the College Football Playoff Selection Committee does. So it is a lot on the line in terms of postseason results for Clemson and LSU. Again, the narrative about Clemson, I was on BetMGM tonight last night, and Ryan and Brad asked me my thoughts on this game. Both of them brought up within the interview the narrative of Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers going 0-3 against the Southeastern Conference last year. You do not have to like it, but those friends in low places, or I guess I should say when it comes to College Football Playoff Selection Committee, those friends in high places, whether you like it or not, right now, the Southeastern Conference is the measuring stick by which everybody else is gauged. That's just how it is right now for everybody. So going 0-3 against that conference last year and that narrative hanging over your head coming into this year is one of the reasons that while we have pointed out, and my take was this, I said this on, I think, Sean Levine's show last Saturday. He said, where do you have Clemson and why? And I said, honestly, I've got them inside the top five. And my reason why is because this team, and this is a very sincere take, I think Clemson has fewer questions to answer than anybody else, right? Their quarterback is established. Can't say that about Texas. Can't say that about Ohio State. Can't say that about Georgia or Notre Dame or Oregon or Alabama or Miami. I think you can a little bit about Miami, but that's a different conversation. Their wide receiver room is established. The only question that has been hanging over the head of the Clemson Tigers is the run game with Adam Randall as RB1. And the folks I've talked to, including John Blau, who joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports, they're all saying, kid, for what it's worth, looked good in the offseason. That's totally different running against an LSU SEC caliber defensive line in week one. But he seems to have embraced getting it right. So we'll see how that plays out. But Clemson has fewer questions, and I would say probably has fewer questions than LSU does. But there is one more thing that I have brought up, and that is head coaching. I think that this is a game that I would like to say the head coaching of Dabo Swinney is head coaching that I have more trust in than the coaching of Brian Kelly. The coordinators that are in place for Clemson, I have more belief in than I do the ones at LSU. But this got said to me last night. I also did another podcast last night. And this is what I got.
Just say no, man.
I don't want to. Listen, if people want to say, Rob Brown, you know ball, and we'd like to have you talk college football and get attention, That's the job. Let's go. All right. Plus, the wife was already asleep at like 8:30, so I didn't have anything better to do. So they said, Rob Brown, you keep leaning on the coaching thing. And it's a fair and valid point when you talk about Dabo Swinney, a guy who has a ton of experience, a guy who has a national championship pedigree, a guy who has been there and done that multiple times. And that's all well and good. And putting him up against Brian Kelly, a guy that I think it can be argued, especially considering he went 9-3 with Jaden Daniels as his quarterback, who won the Heisman that year. They said, as much as you can lean on that, why was that not enough for Dabo last year not to go 0-3 versus the Southeastern Conference? And my response to that was, because the team wasn't as good. That's the reason. On paper, this team is just better than last year's. So, what it means to the two head coaches, in my opinion, is this. This is part of the season-long narrative about Dabo Swinney, that whether he likes it or not is irrelevant. It is the conversation, whether you like it or not, Clemson fans, is irrelevant. It is the national conversation about your ball club. Does the Dabo Swinney methodology, philosophy about college football still work? Does it still work? Is the more old school, sporadically and with great caution, usage of the transfer portal work? Does having NIL, but not necessarily being a huge advocate of NIL, work? Does grabbing guys and sticking with those guys for 2 or 3 or 4 years instead of going into the portal and replacing them with available players who look better on paper still work? This is going to go a long way in answering that question. Right? Like, Dabo's year is going to answer that question, but this game goes a long way in that direction. On the flip side, and this is a point I've been making for a couple of weeks now, Brian Kelly may not be on the hot seat right now. Peter Burns, buddy of the show, Peter Burns, has said on the SEC Network a few times that anybody who thinks Brian Kelly is on the hot seat at LSU is wrong, if for no other reason then, his buyout is enormous. They would give him one more year. So I'll follow buddy of the show, Peter Burns, and I'll say this. Brian Kelly may not be on the hot seat, but he's doing that like weird hover thing that you have to do, like when you're in a public bathroom and you gotta go, but like you don't want to sit on the seat, you know, you grab the rails on both sides and you just kind of hover and then hang on for dear life. That's what Brian Kelly's doing over the hot seat right now. A loss in this game, I think, could very well establish Brian Kelly losing another season opener. Could very well have him lose his grip on the two stall handrails and fall down ass first onto the hot seat. And here's the other problem you have. 2 weeks later, the Mighty Gators of Florida come to town. There's a lot of people, myself included, who actually believe the Florida Gators are going to be a very good football team this year behind DJ Lagway. What happens to Brian Kelly if this team in a championship year, or at least expectations of one, was to start the season 1-2 with Alabama still lurking, with Georgia, with South Carolina all still lurking on the schedule? If he starts 1-2, then he really is on the hot seat. And my fear for LSU is Brian Kelly is kind of noted as being a B-hole. If that team spirals because they go 1-2 and Brian Kelly turns into a B-hole, and that team rebels against him, that team might implode on itself. And it could be Clemson that lights the fuse. It's a big deal for them. That's why this game is absolutely the second most important game of the weekend. Now, another very important game takes place on Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia, when the South Carolina Gamecocks take on the Virginia Tech Hokies. What message do the Gamecocks need to send in that game? I'll give you my narrative, my thoughts on that next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
I heard a coach a couple of days ago, and I wish I could remember which one it was. But I heard a coach say, the college football season is not a marathon and it is not a sprint. It is 12 individual sprints, which you are therefore looking to try to earn a 13th sprint if you're in a conference championship game, and then earn a 15th, 16th, 17th sprint to try to win a national championship. They said the college football season is not a marathon, nor is it a sprint. It is 12 individual sprints. And I like that. I like that a lot. The reason I say that, and I bring that little quip up here on the show, is because where the South Carolina Gamecocks are, as we move towards their opener coming up Sunday afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia, against the Virginia Tech Hokies. I do not think of any of the teams in the country inside of, let's say, the top, I'll say 17, maybe 8, let's say 19, let's say 20. Let's say that everybody in the top 20, from 20 down, Indiana, A&M, Oklahoma, Kansas State, SMU, Michigan, South Carolina, Illinois, Arizona State, Miami, LSU, Alabama, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas. I think it's fair to say every one of those teams, and you could even if you wanted to extend it down to Ole Miss, Texas Tech. By the way, the rumor going around right now is that Texas Tech has spent more NIL money this year than Ohio State spent last year, because they got like a $300 million gift that they put almost exclusively towards name, image, and likeness efforts. So I would say, realistically, maybe let's say the entire top 25, because Boise State checks in at top 25 as last year's group of five representative and a team that is very optimistic that they will be back in this year as the G5 champ. If everybody in the top 25 has an opportunity to be a college football playoff team, there's not much in the way of margin for error this year. I have said a couple of times, and the more that I say it, the more I'm really not sure if I believe me. I've said I would not be shocked this year if a three-loss team gets into the playoffs. Now, if it does, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. It will be a Southeastern Conference team if it happens. But the more I look at it, the more I'm not entirely sure that's going to be the case. I do think there is the potential that a 9-3 Southeastern Conference team this year, if this conference is as good as I think it is top to bottom, that a 9-3 Southeastern Conference team may get the brownie points necessary to jump a 10-2 team from another conference. Well, why is that 9-3 number important? Because that 9-3 number to me, that's the target record for the South Carolina Gamecocks this year. And if you hit your target record of 9-3, and you do so with a Heisman Trophy candidate that, if he lives up to expectations, becomes nationally must-see TV. Remember how Jaden Daniels did at LSU. That team was 9-3, and Jaden Daniels was must-see TV for the country. If Lenore Sellers gets into that stratosphere, as many of us believe that he can and potentially will, and this team goes 9-3, and they do so against one of, I argue, overall, 5 or 6 most difficult schedules in college football, and to me, the most difficult final 7-game stretch of anybody in college football. 9-3 could theoretically make you the first 9-win team to get into the college football playoffs. That's South Carolina's ticket. But, as I've mentioned a few times, because that 7-game stretch is as difficult as it is, with Oklahoma on it, with LSU on it, with Alabama on it, with Ole Miss on it, with Clemson on it, with Texas A&M on the road on it. With all of those teams, which are all teams that have playoff, many of them aspirations, some of them straight up expectations, 9-3, I think, makes South Carolina the most likely 9-3 team to go in as the 12 seed and give themselves a chance. Here's the thing. College football is not a marathon, nor is it a sprint. College football is 12 individual sprints. And much like when you are Olympic qualifying, this is a qualifier. This is a heat. This is, hey, the top 3 runners from this heat will move on to the qualifying round. This is not a game that will get you into the final race. This is a game that will make sure that you are eligible for the race that will get you into the final race. My belief is that if the Gamecocks of South Carolina would like to accomplish a 9-3 record, which I do think respectfully is the roof, it's a brutal schedule. If you would like to have a 9-3 record and at least give yourself the opportunity to argue that a 9-win team should be in the playoffs, whether you have to argue that you deserve it more than another 9-win team, or, and I think this is very much in the cards, you are going to be arguing that 9-3 against this schedule should be treated with the same respect as 10-2 out of the Big 12 or 10-2 out of the ACC. Hell, maybe 10-2 out of the Big 10, because the Oregon Ducks. The Oregon Ducks have effectively, I would say Oregon might have gotten a blessing from the football gods with their schedule this year. They've got Oklahoma State. Don't have a lot of faith in them. They've got the Civil War, but that's at home against Oregon State. Their one big tough matchup is at Penn State. Let's say they lose that. They're probably no worse than 10-2. They've got Indiana. I love me some Kurt Cignetti, but I'm not quite sold that Indiana is going to be back where Indiana was last year. You got USC at the end of the year, which – Lincoln Riley is on the hot seat, even if Brian Kelly's not. Lincoln Riley is. That team's going to be desperate. I think 10-2 is the worst outcome for the Oregon Ducks. And they are out of the Big Ten, good conference, but scheduling-wise, Oregon caught a break this year. No Michigan, no Ohio State. And if that is the case, I think it could very well be argued by South Carolina, assuming that everybody on the schedule upholds their end of the deal. I think it could be argued that 9-3 with South Carolina's schedule is more impressive than 10-2 with Oregon's schedule. That's the argument I'm saying you're setting up. So, with that being said, and let me be clear because a texter just said, your take is a three-loss team making it. Clemson did it last year. Let me be more specific, as in at-large. Because South Carolina is not winning the Southeastern Conference, okay? Like, that's a statement of fact. It's just too good of a conference, and while I am all in on Lenora Sellers, I don't think the rest of the team is that good. So I apologize. You are correct. What I meant was, and I should have been more clear about this, an at-large three-loss team finding their way in. And obviously, that might be influenced by if Clemson goes to the ACC title game at 12-0 and they lose to 9-3 SMU. They lose to 9-3 Miami. Then obviously, Clemson is going to eat up at 12-1 one of those at-large spots. But if you end up in a spot where they go 13-0, the SEC winner ends up going 12-1, 11-2, because I don't know if there's an undefeated team in the SEC this year unless Arch Manning is him. I am talking about a three-loss team competing for an at-large spot, which is, I think, the best that South Carolina can hope for. In order to make that happen, I have already gone on the record and said, this team has to start 5-0. That is non-negotiable to me. If you drop Virginia Tech, SC State, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, or Kentucky, if you drop any one of those five, I think you can go ahead and wave hasta luego to an at-large playoff spot, unless South Carolina was then to go 6-1, maybe 5-2 through the last seven. But keep in mind, I've said my roof for this team this year is 9-3, and that roof of 9-3 is with the assumption that they start 5-0. The assumption that the five games they will open up as favorites, VTech, SC State, Vandy, Mizzou, and Kentucky are all wins. If you take a loss in any one of these games early in the season, you can drop that 9-3 to 8-4. If you take two losses in those opening five games, you can drop that 8-4 to 7-5. And I think that would be a disappointment this year. I think 8-4 is a year that you look and you go, it ain't what we wanted. It also against that schedule ain't the worst thing in the world, but we're not happy about it. I think 9-3, you go, good season. I think anything better than 9-3, you go, hell yeah, what a year, right? So, I think I require a 5-0. And even though you do have, in week two, a home contest at night with SC State coming to town, which should be a glorified, all due respect to SC State, a glorified tune-up, because you've got Diego Pavia, Clark Lee, and the Vanderbilt Commodores come into town. And Vandy is, and I am confident saying this, these ain't your daddy's doors. This team's good. I'm not saying they're Bama good. I'm not saying they're LSU good. I'm saying Diego Pavia is a dude who is now in his mid-20s, has experience. They are confident because they have been riding, even with a couple of losses after it. Vanderbilt is very much riding the high off of the upset against Alabama last year. Vanderbilt is very much riding the high against the road win against Auburn last year. Like, they are riding that. They feel themselves. And I have already told you, there are two coaches in college football that are never mentioned in the best active coaches conversation that I think should be. There's really three. Brent Key at Georgia Tech, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, and Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. I believe in Clark Lee. I believe that down the line, a major power conference team is going to end up with an opening, and Clark Lea is going to be call number one. Honestly, if LSU fires Brian Kelly, I think Clark Lea is the phone call. You're ready to step up in the conference, bud. And I think he would say yes. So, with college football not being a marathon, nor is it a sprint, it is 12 individual sprints. You got to make sure you're in the qualifying race. The qualifying race is the final seven games of the year, which means you've got to win these heats. You cannot just come out to me. You cannot just come out and beat Virginia Tech, win the game. You need to come out and put everything on display. You need to prove to the committee, who is watching this weekend, even if they don't issue a ranking, we are absolutely, even if we finish 9-3, one of the best teams in the country, just up against a brutal schedule. And to show that to them, you need to decimate Virginia Tech. Don't just cover. You need to decimate VaTech. All right, we'll talk more college football coming up in the next hour. Get a little baseball in here and more. All of that after Lonzo. If they hand out trophies, I assume is going to collect another one with this Sports Flash.
That's why I've got a mantle. A ninth inning offensive explosion powered the Atlanta Braves to an 11-2 win over Miami. Hurston Water pad another solid outing, allowing eight hits but only one run across 5.1 innings. Atlanta notched a dozen hits, including four in the top of the ninth. Atlanta finishes the series this afternoon at 1:10. NFL roster cut day finished with a flurry of moves from the Carolina Panthers. The biggest shock was the release of former Clemson Tiger Hunter Renfrow. The Panthers did keep seven wide receivers as well as four tight ends. Other notable cuts were backup Jack Plummer, kicker Matthew Wright, defensive tackle Shai Tuttle, and running back Raheem Blackshear. The New Orleans Saints announced that former Gamecock signal caller Spencer Rattler will be their starter when the season opens next weekend. Rattler beat out rookie Tyler Shuck for the spot and will start his seventh career game after going 0-6 with largely backups last year.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.